crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective, oh. And did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatolydibop, shabadooey. You'll revel in hilarity. It's pork therapy.
Hello, and welcome to Pork Therapy.
Indeed.
I'm Stephanie Wright.
And this is Mike Wright.
Wrong. I'm going to be a contrarian, Mike, and just tell you you're not actually Mike tonight.
Uh-oh. Who am I? What
Michael
am I?
Jackson.
Yoo-hoo!
Exactly. So, anyway, we are so glad to have you listening to us tonight. We're Pork Therapy, and we do a show about relationships from a liberty bent, right?
Yes.
That's what you said last time, Mike.
My liberty has been bent.
Really? Was it ever straight? I don't think it was.
I guess I was never straight, to
be honest. No, neither was I. Anyway, we like to talk about relationships, which are really the basis of a voluntary society, which is what we strive to see in our lifetimes and all that good liberty-oriented stuff. We are heard on the Liberty Radio Network, which is at lrn.fm. You should check them out. Along with us, you will find lots of other cool liberty-oriented content, most of it live. And you may even catch me doing some ads for Porcupine Freedom Festival while you're there.
Ooh, right? Nice.
Have you heard these, Mike?
I haven't.
I am already getting so sick of them that I want to make some new ads.
Of making them or of hearing them?
No, of hearing them, because it was my voice and it plays over and over, and I'm promoting Porkfest. And
I was gonna
by
say,
the
do
way,
you want to tell people what Porkfest is?
Yes, it's the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is put on by the Free State Project, a movement to get 20,000 liberty-loving individuals to come to New Hampshire and affect social change, I guess you could say. And Porkfest is held every summer at, this summer it's going to be at Rogers Campground in Lancaster, New Hampshire, which is up in the north in the White Mountains. And if you want to see all kinds of cool stuff, well, listen to LRN and you'll hear my voice pimping it enough, but I have to put in a personal plug for Porkfest because Porkfest is really fun. I always have a great time there. You'll meet so many like-minded people. You'll just never want to leave New Hampshire. And that's the truth. That's what everybody says when the week is over, or when the weekend is over, because in the past it's just been a weekend, but this year it's a week. So you should go to porkfest.com and check it out. That's PORCFEST.com, as you'll hear me saying ad nauseum if you listen to the radio network. And, yeah, it'll be really fun. So, I am definitely looking forward to that. See y'all at Porkfest. Anyway, so we do have something tonight, right, Mike?
Yes, we're actually going to start with two quick listener feedbacks and then talk about
listener feedbacks.
Listener feedsback?
Feedsback, yeah. Like
listeners' feedback?
Pieces of listener feedback.
That's the one.
It's like pieces of flair. You know, you can never have too many. So that's why you should
have to link to that.
Yes. That's why you should give us your feedback. You should also send us your relationship questions by emailing us. And what's our email address, Mike?
Questions@porktherapy.com. PORCtherapy.com.
Yes, indeed. Pork therapy, like the pork fest, right? And
yes.
And also, you can also call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4. That's our phone number. And
Leave a question. All right.
I was going to hearken back to the old days of Pork Therapy and say, ask Mike on a date, but I decided against it.
If you want to know what she's talking about, go to our website and listen to our old shows. Actually, the first half of our shows, maybe.
Oh, my God. Please don't listen to them. I'm going to use reverse psychology.
Don't write.
Anyway, so we have listener feedbacks to get to. So what is the first feedback?
All right. Well, we've got two. Do you have a preference which one you read?
I'll read the first one.
Okay.
We'll split up the work, Mike.
Yep.
We're very egalitarian. Okay, so our first listener feedback says, well, Stephanie, I really just wanted to know what a mensch was, because your little opening song says you were a darlin' and Mike is a mensch. I didn't know if it meant Mike was good or bad. I thought maybe it was something to do with being Jewish or something. But yeah, what the heck is a mensch? And what are the qualities that make someone a mensch? Where did the term mensch originate? I walk around for days with that little jingle in my head after I listen to your show, and not knowing what a mensch is driving me crazy. I looked in the dictionary and there was no definition for it. You'll either have to change your song or describe what a mensch is for me before I go insane. Hee hee.
Wow. Ultimatum.
Yeah. Seriously.
I do, I have to agree that that jingle is very catchy.
It is so you know, I heard a listener say if he had a nickel for every time he sings it in the shower.
Oh, wow.
So we're getting very personal, Mike. We're even in people's showers. This
right
is
on.
This is pretty an intimate medium of communication with our listeners. So, mensch, what is a mensch? A mensch is a Yiddish word, right, Mike?
Yep.
And Yiddish is what? A language that's kind of loosely based on
Hebrew?
Hebrew, maybe, sure. I don't know.
Is it loosely? It's very similar to Hebrew,
like
and they're both based on German?
I honestly have no idea.
On German. I don't know.
I don't know where Yiddish comes from, but Yiddish is basically a language that was spoken by European Jews, right?
Yeah.
It has a lot of its own words, like if you've ever heard Meshuggah. Have you ever heard that one?
Oy vey, have I.
I think that's a bad one, right?
It's I don't know. How do you spell that one?
Oh, no. M-E-S-H-U-G-G.
Oh, there you go. Thanks to Google's autospell.
A Meshuggah is a, according to Urban Dictionary, it's a Yiddish word that Jews use meaning crazy.
Wow.
So, Meshuggah, bad, mensch, good, right?
Something like that.
Anyway, yes, a mensch is a Yiddish word that means basically like a good person.
Yes.
And let's see, from Wikipedia, it says a person of integrity and honor. And
I'll take
I would
it.
Definitely agree that Mike is a person of integrity and honor. So there you go, listener. That's what mensch means. And I, as far as the qualities that define a mensch, I haven't really thought too much about it because
I would
guess
that
they
word. Are integrity and honor. That would be my guess.
Yeah, but what you wanted to know, what does it mean to us to be a good person of integrity and honor?
A good guy.
Yeah, you do what you say, you say what you do, right?
Yeah.
Keep your promises.
They're not mutually exclusive. A darlin could be a mensch, and I suppose a mensch could
be
a darlin.
Is it now it does say mensch. Is that does that mean it's like a male specific?
Yeah, it's not a womensch.
That's right.
Let's not get carried away. All right. I think we covered the menschness.
Yes, I think so. But if we haven't been clear, we've mentioned it. Exactly. Oh, good
pun. I stole your pun.
I wasn't even thinking of that. Mike, I don't believe in intellectual property. You cannot steal a pun.
Good call.
Yeah.
I used the pun you were thinking of.
I wasn't
you
even
might have
thinking
thought
of it.
Oh, I'm flailing. Okay.
Right. Anyway, so we do have another listener feedback from the feedbacks, right?
Right, from the feedback. Right, the feedback bag. So this one is in a comment on our recent episode number 116, The Antidote for Awkward, where we talked about the question from a listener was, I'm a male and socially awkward when sex comes up.
This was the virgin voluntarist,
yes,
right?
Yes, when sex comes up, he doesn't know how to react. When the topic of sex comes up.
Right.
Okay, so the comment from a different listener was, I've got to disagree with one thing you guys mentioned, which is us. You were summing up his development in relation to the defense mechanisms. Having had many similar kinds of defense mechanism, just because you recognize one doesn't mean you're past it. It's quite possible to still hold and use a defense mechanism even when you find it a drawback. He may still be scared to let it down, but sees that it gets in the way of getting laid. To see something as a net loss doesn't mean you give it up. And that's definitely true. In fact, that's how I train myself to do, you know, to better myself when I see something I don't like. Mm-hmm. I first recognize something about me that I don't like, and it takes months before I am able to change it. Mm-hmm. So there's at least those few months where I recognize
something's wrong.
Right. A bad habit or a defense mechanism or whatever before I'm able to catch it before it happens and start correcting it.
Mm.
So at least for me, there's at least a few month period. And for others, there could be more or less.
Yeah. I think at the time when we were trying to answer that question, I was thinking that recognizing something is wrong or is a problem or you want to change it is like the first step to changing it doesn't mean you have changed it. So
right, that's true.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought process.
And it also kind of went hand in hand with the listener's question. The reason he's asking is because he wants to change it. And it seemed like he wanted to drop these defense mechanisms because he said they ill-suit him.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess we just assumed that he was dropping them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so cool, good feedback.
Indeed.
And now should we move on to the main course?
Yes, it's not a listener question this episode.
Yeah, the main course. We did a couple of shows about nonviolent communication, which is a communication style that involves
empathy and win-win.
Yes, win-win scenarios by empathizing with others.
Mm-hmm.
And it involves talking about feelings and needs.
And
feelings. That's right, Mike. So for more about NVC, we've discussed it extensively on our show, including with Wes Bertrand, who's like kind of a guru of it, or expert, I would say. And we also had some very insightful feedback from a listener named Debbie that we did a show about most recently.
Mm-hmm.
And on that most recent show, Mike, I've had a lot of experiences using NVC, and I've gotten into trying to put it in place in my life. But you hadn't really had too much experience with it until now, but you actually did have an experience, and you wanted to talk about it, right?
Right, actually, too.
Oh.
So this is essentially my first experience using nonviolent communication.
Uh-huh.
And I had a roommate situation where this person, call him Bob, said something to – he basically disrespected what I do or disregarded, I guess, what I do around the house. You know, we're both roommates in the same place, and I – you know, we both have to clean and take care of it and make sure it doesn't fall apart and, you know fix – it's not like an apartment where things are taken care of. It's a farm, so we take care of the place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we both have responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And something he said was essentially, well, someone's got to take care of this place because you don't. Okay?
Mm,
he said basically that.
So you were needing some more recognition for what you do around the house.
Right. I was needing, I guess, recognition. I was needing, I felt disrespected. Or I guess that's not a feeling, but I needed respect. For what I do.
Yes.
Okay.
You needed respect.
So.
That makes sense.
I didn't do anything right then when the conversation, it wasn't even a conversation, it was words in passing. Mm-hmm. I didn't say anything right then. And then I thought about it and I realized I didn't like what was said.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, you know, it didn't make me feel good.
So did you give yourself some empathy about that?
I did, and I'll talk about that next, because that's my other experience.
Okay.
But I ended up sending him an email, not talking in person. And this is not a great way to do it, but this is what I did. And I said in the email, basically, you said this to me, and this made me feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
And why did you say that? Did you feel this because you think I'm not doing the work? And by the way, in our living situation, it's I don't want to get into details, but it's very, very probable that he did not know what work I was doing to upkeep the house.
Uh-huh.
So I said, basically, are you frustrated because you think I'm not doing any work around here?
Uh-huh.
And then I told him my feelings. I asked him his feelings and guessed why. And then I said, this isn't really a solution, but it's like an explanation. Then I said, well, in case that's the case, let me show you what I've done. And I've done this and this and this, and I do this and this and this, and I explain things that I do around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finished off the email with something like, the request for a solution, which would be like, I don't remember what I said now, but it was something like, so I hope that makes you feel better, and please let me know if it doesn't. And, you know, if we need to talk about, you know, the labor division, then let's do it. Something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Does that make sense?
That does make sense, yeah.
Okay.
So what was the outcome?
I'll tell you that in a minute, but what do you think of...
What do I think of your technique?
Yes. Even though I'm just being vague right now, but...
No, I thought it was great. I thought, okay, so it sounded like you asked him, you guessed at his feelings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you guessed at what... Maybe not what he was needing, but definitely what he was feeling, right?
Right. Well, actually, I guessed at why he was feeling it, too, which is his needs, right? I guessed, are you feeling this because of this?
Because of what? What
I
was
said,
the need that...
I said, are you frustrated because... Well, you're right. I guess I didn't word it very clearly in terms of needs, but I said, are you frustrated because you think you're doing all the work around here?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not saying...
Mm.
Because your need for sharing the workload isn't getting met or whatever.
Mm. Or are you frustrated because you need reciprocity?
Right. In this situation. I did not say it that way. Although I made an attempt to guess why he was feeling, but I didn't word it right.
Yeah, totally. Okay. I totally get that.
All right.
Another question is why did you just think it was kind of easier to compose your thoughts by doing it by email rather than in person?
That's a good question. Because I don't prefer it as a means of communication.
Yeah, because I know how you feel about email and generally.
It has one benefit, and that is you can get out a whole plethora of thoughts without being interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
So I could get my whole spiel out there without him asking questions and being heard or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's why I did it or it was just easier. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. And how did you said that when he first said this to you about, well, good thing somebody takes care of the house because you sure don't do it.
Right.
How did you feel when that happened?
Dissed. Yeah, I felt like slighted. I felt belittled.
Yeah.
I felt unimportant. Is that what you mean?
Right. So
and unuseful.
So all of those are expressions of your need for recognition and respect not getting met.
Yeah.
So did you at any point say that to yourself? Hey, like, so the thoughts went through your mind. Oh, I'm feeling disrespected. I'm feeling dissed and sad and frustrated and angry and all these feelings. Did you at any point say to yourself, hey, that sucks. My need for respect was not met.
I don't think so. I think I subconsciously or intuitively recognized that I'm putting forth effort and it's not being recognized and that hurts me. And that's like the first step towards recognizing my need wasn't being met. And that was good enough for me to understand that I wanted to communicate with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't bother to proceed in my thought process past that to which need specifically wasn't being met.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that I should do.
Yeah. Well, it may, there's no should, right. But it may feel better because sometimes I've noticed more than half of the times that I use NVC, it's with myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's thinking to myself, this need is not being met, or identifying whatever need is or is not being met with me at that moment. And then it actually really does feel good to identify that. It feels
efficacious.
Like, okay, yeah, efficacious, right. I know what the problem is. I know which need is not being met. I know why I'm feeling this way now.
Right.
And that feels good. It's a sense of control, I guess, or a sense of I'm doing
understanding,
something.
At least.
Yeah, understanding.
Okay.
Yep. I'm doing something. I'm proactive. I'm taking action to address this whatever need is not being met.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you decide to use NVC after not using it before? What made you decide to try it in this situation?
I don't know. Perhaps the same thing I just mentioned earlier, and that is when I see something about me I don't like, it takes me a while to recognize it. Then when I recognize it, it takes me a while to be able to catch myself doing it before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes me a while to practice fixing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I had just heard about and thought about NVC, nonviolent communication, enough that I realized this time finally, hey, here's a situation when this might help, when I can use this and it might help instead of just doing whatever it is I normally do.
Mm-hmm. And one last question before you tell me the outcome. After you wrote that email to him, what was your emotional state at that time? Like, how were you feeling then?
You mean right when I sent it, but before I got a response?
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good?
No. It was more like anxious, I guess. Like,
because there's an unresolved conflict?
Yes. Yeah, not really. Even worse than that. It kind of felt like there was a challenge. I was being challenged and I'm defending myself. And then I haven't heard back from the judges yet. That's kind of what it felt like. So not really nervous. Cause
feel like you're on the defensive.
Yeah. A little bit on the defensive and a little bit just like unfinished.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I know that feeling.
Okay.
I understand it.
So then the response.
Yeah.
Okay.
The response
was later that day, the roommate comes into the main farmhouse where he rarely enters.
Mm-hmm.
He has his own building and whatever.
Which is why he didn't know you were cleaning.
Right, which is why he didn't really know what was going on. But anyway, he came in and sought me out, and we sat in a room together alone and talked. And he basically said, I'm sorry that you got that impression from what I said. That's not what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I meant. And he then explained how he was trying to enunciate frustration with himself, because he's had some health issues over the last 6-8 months and hasn't been able to do labor around the farm. And he was basically expressing how that. And I didn't get it from his words. I still don't understand how his words meant that. But he, you know, we sat out and talked for a while, and he explained how he wasn't suspecting that I wasn't doing work. He wasn't saying that I wasn't doing work. He was basically saying that he wasn't doing work, and he's sorry.
So, wow. So you would have never even known that he had a health problem and he wasn't really
Well, I knew he had health problems, but I had no idea that he was hard on himself because of it, or he wanted to be doing more or anything like that.
That's amazing. I'm really impressed by that outcome, because you guys had an actual real honest exchange there, right? That you probably wouldn't have had otherwise, right?
Never would have had.
If you would have continued to say, oh, he's just being a jerk, he's disrespectful to me, and ignored him, then it wouldn't have never come to that.
Right.
That was not very articulate. It would have never come to
that. It would never ever come to that.
Yeah, I can talk. I have a podcast.
I can talk good.
Yeah, but wow, Mike, that's actually really cool. I'm glad you shared that experience.
The first time that I actually used nonviolent communication, I think I definitely need some improvement, but it seemed to have a positive outcome.
Awesome. Wow.
Now, this was maybe a week ago, and then just a couple days ago, I kind of used NVC on myself for, I guess you call this self-empathy.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I've ever done that explicitly as well. And so what happened was, there was a different roommate who, by the way, does live in the farmhouse, but a totally different roommate. And this person was using one of the shared resources kind of hoggishly. But we don't have any rules against it, and there's really nothing wrong with it, and any of us could do this. You know what I mean? There's nothing really wrong with it.
And there's multiple people that live in the, the house. Okay. Yeah.
So the first thing that went through my mind was, I'm going to talk to him about this so he doesn't, you know, use this resource so hoggishly. And then I said to myself,
hogs, jackals, giraffes, there's too many animals.
It's a zoo. It's a pork zoo.
Porks. I can't forget porks too. Sorry, Mike.
So you're going
to talk to him?
I was going to. And then I asked myself, well, why? What's wrong with him using this so often? What is it about you, Michael, that... And I don't know why I said Michael. Probably because my parents refer to me as Michael, and I'm trying to talk to myself. What's wrong with what need is not being met, essentially, that makes you care that he's using this so much? Because if he wasn't using it so much, you still wouldn't be using it. So why do you care? And I still haven't come up with the answer, but that's where I'm at with that. I think this was yesterday.
I see. So you're having trouble identifying the need that was not met.
Actually, I probably am having trouble identifying my need that wasn't met, but I think it's at the moment more accurate to say that I've been just so busy with other things in life that I haven't had time to reflect on this.
That makes sense.
But I just thought I'd mention, it's one of the first times I've self-empathized explicitly.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Progress with me in nonviolent communication.
Very cool. Well, yeah. Good stuff, Mike. Have you thought about checking out there's like a list of what Rosenberg describes as like the universal human needs. I actually had the exact same experience, Mike. It was really difficult for me to identify some of the needs that were not being met when I first started out with using nonviolent communication. And I would say to myself, okay, I'm not feeling good. There's some need that's not getting met. What is the need? And then I would think about it, and I'd be like, I have no idea. So then I would basically just go through the list of needs and see if any of them fit I was thinking.
About this list on previous NVC nonviolent communication episodes.
Yeah.
And we've linked to them, and we'll link to this list again in these show notes. I did not do that yet, and maybe I will.
Cool. It would be interesting to see.
Yeah.
So, thanks a lot for sharing those experiences. It sounded like they were pretty good overall.
Yeah, the first one had a positive outcome, and the second one felt good, even though I'm still, in the process of it.
Right.
So, I think it was positive.
Awesome. Well, you know, I'm all for anything that makes the Barsky happy. I would like a happy co-host and a happy pork. So, anyway, is that all we want to say this episode?
I think it is.
All right, Mike, you are such a mensch.
You're such a darling.
I just had to mention that.
What's the same pun again?
I don't know.
That's a tougher one.
Yeah.
You're working on it.
I'm thinking about it. I can't come up with anything good.
Like, so. 6 episodes later, we'll have a darling pun for you.
Oh, next one, actually. As soon as I have time to not be on the spot.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening to me yammer about my personal life.
Mike, I think there are a lot of people who are very interested in knowing the most intimate goings on at the
Well, let me tell you about this rash I have.
Oh. Not only did I blow out the waveforms on our recording software, but I think I just I just blew a fuse in my brain. But thanks for listening.
Indeed.
We certainly do appreciate it.
And thanks for the feedback. If you guys have your own questions or comments about a past episode or anything like that, you can send it to us at questions@porktherapy.com.
Or you can call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4 and tell us about your NVC virginity losing experience, like Mike just did. He showed you his, you show him yours.
Wow.
Right?
Woo!
Anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, because Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4.